a nutshell, that's what it is regarding that. Because if I can just quickly also go back on my case, that was 2016, which I applied for this assistant manager's case. I was not shortlisted, obvious now, because I know now the reason. And then I wrote a letter, I was just seeking a clarity as to why I was not shortlisted, because I believe my CV says it all. So I was wanting to know what is it now that I'm lacking of, I need to add on my CV. But there was no response for some time. Eventually, in November, I received a response, 2016. Now, the response was saying that the office acknowledges that the error was made, but we still recommend that you continue to apply in the public service. Then they consider the grievance as closed. And then I was not able to respond. I forwarded to the chief director's office. And then again, there was no response. And then I have to involve the rep from Nehao on this. And then he wrote to them on 1st March 2017 to say, now if they are not responding, then we declare a dispute. Obviously, they didn't respond. And then we declared dispute. We wrote to the, we engaged the bargaining council on the 17th March. And then we received a response from the chief director's people's management office. Basically, they were saying that they found my grievance as unsubstantiated, and then they said to me, please ignore the content of the letter dated 9 November 2016, as it was factually incorrect. And also, this is my job description. On my job description, it is clearly stated that my next level is assistant manager nursing. But now, because I want to touch on this issue of why is it now affecting the other colleagues of mine in other hospitals. So on the 5th of July 2017, we went for a hearing to the bargaining council. And then the outcome came out on the 25th of July, and then it favored the department, of course. But now on the outcome, and point 24, I've got the copy here. This is now the part which is affecting my other colleagues. Now, the commissioner wrote this. He said, I agree with the applicant as the matter stands. He is confined to his present position in terms of the career path. Obviously, this situation is unfair to him, but such can only be rectified if the collective agreement is amended, or the post of clinical program coordinator should be taken out where it is currently slotted within the agreement. So I'm not sure whether the department has got the copy of the outcome, but up to date, they have not acted on this. Now, wherever we apply as a clinical program coordinator, you are told, if you are applying for a senior position, you are told, no, you are a clinical program coordinator, you don't qualify for that. So, just recently, an example, Sister Bennett, clinical program coordinator, there's a clinical program coordinator for infection control, which is me. There's a clinical program coordinator for training. There's a clinical program coordinator for occupational health and safety. Now, we are stuck where we are. So, this outcome, because it says now, you cannot be an assistant manager. You cannot be a nursing manager. That's what it says. So, unless this, what the commissioner has recommended here, can be done, that is it. But the department isn't not interested at all. Recently, Sister Bartlett applied to other hospital for a senior position. Also, she was told the same. No, your clinical program coordinators, they don't have experience of managing people, dealing with finance, dealing with conflict management, all those sort of petty reasons. So what I'm saying, we are stuck in terms of that. And then if I can move on, I want to go to the
conclusion.
caring for the care at Khayelitsha Hospital. The staff of Khayelitsha Hospital, they are depressed committees. Currently, there are three nurses who are diagnosed with depression. All of them are reporting to the same manager, but the manager is refusing to help or assist them. They went to see doctors and recommendations were made, and managers, and the manager was made aware of those, but refused to act upon them. In other words, defying doctors' orders, putting the nurses at further risk. So two of the nurses are on sick leave as I'm speaking now due to depression. One nurse has a backache and a deep vein thrombosis diagnosed by the doctor January 2018, and the doctor recommended that she must be removed and placed where she can avoid lifting and put strain on her legs. She even signed a pillar is an incapacity leave, a long period, submitted to her manager the pillar, the form, but the manager blindly refused to act on it. Instead, he kept it into his office, not submitting the form to the people's management. So the nurse is still there in that ward, depressed, and she was told recently to coach the new nurses that are coming in that ward. Now, just to move on to the psych services. Khayelitsha Hospital was not designed for psychiatric patients in the first place. It's a general hospital. It's not a psychiatric hospital. And it was not designed for that purpose. But wards are not built in such a way to accommodate such clients. You know. So ever since the whole of last year, this has positioned staff and patients at a risk. Ironically, even in the head of nursing, she's got a psychiatric background. But there are no staff employed for psychiatric ward there in Khayelitsha. The cleaning of the ward is compromised. There are no cleaning personnel, housekeeping staff for the psychiatric ward at all. It's nothing. And then when the Department of Labor was there, this was one of the recommendations that they should employ the housekeeping staff for that ward. Till to date, nothing has been done. And then as a result, the head of nursing asked me to do an investigation when I raised the question of the issue of this ward I'm talking about. It's a 30-bed ward, but currently, as I'm talking now, the patient in that ward 65. And then in EC yesterday, there were 14 waiting also to be admitted. So it could be, maybe now it's 79 on a 30-bed ward. Now, when I raised this with the head of nursing, now who's the acting CEO now, and then she said, I must do investigation and come up with a recommendation. I did that. Here's my recommendation. Here's the situation in pictures. You can see it yourself. It's terrible. And then when she received my recommendation, she rejected them. And then she said, I quote, "This happens to all other psychiatric and district hospital provincial." That was her response to me. Now, what is happening daily there, because the toilets are being blocked every day, so the maintenance or the workshop are being called 3 to 4 times a day to unblock those toilets and fix them. And also structurally, this is risky for those patients because that ward is accommodated at the first floor, which is risk. Just last week, one patient nearly jumped down to the ground floor, thanks to the securities that were there. So there were lots of incidences that were happening in that psychiatric ward. Some, they were going on top of the roof, breaking the roof, doing all sorts of things. Now, the other thing is that they send the nurses to do advanced psychiatric courses. Nurses go and then come back, and then they are not recognized as a specialist. So that frustrates the nurses. What they do, they resign. Send nurses to go and do the nursing management courses. They come back, those nurses, they resign, they go to other hospitals. That's what is happening. So the attrition rate real of staff in Khayelitsha Hospital is so high, real, but the management seems not to be bothered at all. That's why we are here. We are hope that there will be something done. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Next one. Yes, ma'am. Use your mic. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Alani Bennett, as previously introduced. I'm the manager of the training department. And
close to the mic, ma'am.
Okay. I'm the manager of the training department at Khayelitsha Hospital. And I just would like to bring my concerns about adverse management to this platform. I believe that patients have become victims of bad management and bad care at Khayelitsha Hospital, and people are not being held for accountable for the jobs that they are employed for or for any of the transgressions where they are involved in adverse incidences. I'm just very briefly going to explain to you or just mention a few cases. Case number one happened in 2015, where two babies died in the nursery department because of a blood transfusion. Whether that incident was ever investigated, I don't know. All I know is when I went to see the mother of that baby, I found her extremely distraught, one of the mothers in that nursery department. I later heard that the sister was an agency sister that administered these blood transfusions to these two babies, and that sister didn't have the experience to work in a nursery department. Case number two was of a patient that died on the 2nd of November in the East department. This patient was admitted with deep vein thrombosis. She was administered KCL by a staff nurse. Now, I have to inform the committee that it's not in the scope of a staff nurse to administer any IV drugs. This patient then subsequently died. Whether it was investigated, I don't know, but my clinical experience told me that this patient, this nurse, administrated that drug wrongly to that patient. Now, the porters, at a later stage informed me that this patient screamed so loud that they could hear the patient all the way from where they were sitting. Now, KCL, just to bring it to your attention, it burns. Now, if it's not diluted, if it's not given in the right method, you know, the patient will experience pain and the patient will have arrhythmias. And I suspect that this patient died of a cardiac arrest. My next case was of a patient, also on the 2nd of December 2016. This patient was admitted with hyponatremia. This patient was confused. Her mental state was altered, and then this patient eventually jumped from the second floor of Khayelitsha Hospital. She sustained multiple injuries, was transferred to Tigerberg Hospital. A few weeks later, she was transferred back to Khayelitsha Hospital, where she was now under the care of an orthopedic surgeon. Through the investigation, which was thankfully done by Sister Warnick, because it was not initiated by anybody in that institution, she found that patient's, since the admission, throughout the stay, that this patient assessment was done by an EMA, which is just a nursing assistant. Now, a nursing assistant do not have the necessary educational qualifications to make assessments that was so complicated as in the case of this patient. Other case is where a doctor brought to my attention when I was doing a round that a patient that was admitted with deep vein thrombosis did not get life-saving drugs for 4 days in one of the wards. Now, when I brought it to the attention of my supervisor, which was the head of nursing, and to the CEO of the hospital, he asked her to do an investigation into that. She started sort of an investigation, but when I said you need to get all the parties involved, she blatantly refused, and she threatened me with insubordination if I do not cooperate in the meeting that she established. Committee members, you will never know the amount of our defenseless ICR, having to defend ICR to three different people and having no support from the one person, which is my supervisor, on that particular day. Needless to say, Chair, that nothing happened of that incident. The staff were not disciplined, those managers were not disciplined, it was just swept under the carpet, like many others in Karichawa. Now, I have brought a few others, but it's too lengthy. I'm just going to say that Sister Hornick, in an effort to help us to manage these adverse incidents, she established a committee, an adverse incident committee at that hospital. She was a driver of that committee. But because she exposed these managers for not doing the job that they were employed for, they victimized her in such a manner that she eventually resigned. During the time that she investigated, and she was the chairperson, the driver of that committee, in January 2017, I just want to explain to the committee, 21 incidences were reported. In February 2017, 12 incidences were reported. In March 2017, 16 incidences were reported. In April 2017, 17 incidences. In May 2017, 31 incidences were reported. And in June 2017, 14 incidences were reported. This has never happened before until this lady took over ownership of, we need to do something about the adverse incidences in our institution. Then, committee members, I'd just like to also bring to the attention of the mismanagement of funds at Khayelitsha Hospital. Last year, name stamps were ordered for nurses which was not needed for them in that hospital. There are strict guidelines from the South African Nursing Council in terms of identifying yourself when you write on patient record. Now, these nursing stamps amounted to 23,712 rand, and it was procured from the EC department budget. Now, in my National Core Standard Preliminary Assessment of that EC department, I assessed that the nurses are administrating drugs from a trolley that was not locked. It's open. There are patients sitting there. And my feeling around this was, why did this manager not use those funds to procure a lockable medication trolley for that area in the EC department? Also, there are patients, and you all know it, that sitting for days on end at Khayelitsha Hospital waiting for care. Why did he not procure at least hygiene packs so that those patients can wash themselves while they are waiting to be seen by doctors? My second issue is the establishment of a nursing training forum in the presence of a functional skills committee. Now, the head of nursing, she pushed for this, because I was exposing them, the nursing managers, for constantly going on courses, not upskilling the lower grade staff. They are never there. They are always on courses, and you don't see any change in the institution from the amount of courses that they are attending. So to get me out, to victimize me, she established this forum at Khayelitsha Hospital. I also would like to express my concern around the working hours of assistant managers on night duty. This was brought by another manager, and if I can just briefly read out the email that he sent to the head of nursing. He questioned, how can this person have hours owned when she hardly ever work 160 hours per cycle? The response from the head of nursing was, you are not the supervisor of this person, and you are not the deputy manager of nursing, kindly refrain from your conduct yourself in this manner. Focus on your area, which is the acute services. Now, this is a type of abuse that we are exposed to on a daily basis by that head of nursing. Then also I'm including, my colleagues just touch up on the corrupt recruitment and selection. I have included evidence of corrupt recruitment and selection, which I'm not going to go into this. I also just like to bring to the attention of the committee about unresolved grievances of me of victimization and bullying from my supervisor. I submitted two of those grievances were never investigated since 2016 up to 2018. The last grievance was in 2018, and that is currently under investigation, and I haven't heard the outcome of it. I also would like to state here that my husband, out of desperation, in 2016, wrote an email to the head of health telling her and asking her for intervention into my victimization at that hospital. She promised an investigation, whether it happened or not, I don't know, but I still found myself in 2019 being victimized. Last year in August, I received a final written warning, and I can inform the committee here that there was no proper labor process followed to give me that final written warning. There were a lot of lies told, and the issues that led to that final written warning were never properly investigated. And I cannot tell you how many times I drove from work into my garage and thinking that it would be so easy for me to hang myself in my garage because I cannot handle going to work back the next morning. I fear my supervisor. I've complained. I followed the correct processes, and up until today, I still found myself in the same position. Is it fair? I'm asking, is it fair when I followed all the correct processes to be diagnosed and instantly hospitalized and diagnosed and currently being on treatment? Is it fair that the Department of Health has nothing to protect my rights as an employer? I'm sorry that I'm emotional, but I am suffering, and no one except in Ahavo members took our complaint seriously. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, I think there are two members who presented their case last time. Strictly 5 minutes. Yourself and Mrs. Ntega. Strictly 5 minutes. Can, before that, I see there are new members who are just, you are most welcome. Can you introduce yourselves, please, quickly?
Good morning, Chair and the committee. My name is Lewis Ongota. I'm a committee executive.
Vanessa Adrianza, FCD committee member.
Thank you very much. Can you continue, sir? Strictly 5 minutes. Just summarize your case. Strictly 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Abdulrahman Erinzen. I used to be employee of Khayelitsha District Hospital. I actually was the HR manager since
your name again?
Abdulrahman Erinzen.
Yes.
I used to be the HR manager for Khayelitsha District Hospital. Since the inception, I was part of the commissioning team since May of 2011. I subsequently find myself dismissed last year, June, through a lengthy process based on certain recommendations from investigations which I was not part of, not interviewed, and certain things that I have been exposed to that has been mentioned that I'm aware of, the interviews or recruitment selection processes that I've raised in many complaints, grievances, that has also been sidelined, not been dealt with, not been referred to. I've referred everything, like I previously said in my testimony in November, I've referred all of those issues right up to the MEC, and also that's why I was basically requested to be at the previous National Council of Provinces. And all of these issues I've dealt with, that have been testified with these individuals or these witnesses, I've been directly involved in it, and I've been exposed to it, and I've reported on it, and I've complained about it, and nothing has been done. And I've been subject to the same harassment, the same victimization that the staff are currently going through at Khayelitsha District Hospital, until I was basically kind of made persona non grata. I was not, there was no communication, I was not called to any meetings. Even one of the investigations done by the Public Service Commissioner, where I investigated Mr. Plaatjie's attempt to interview his brother for a post, where I investigated, apparently I've been blamed for that process as the HR manager of, because I was incompetent. Subsequently, that is being used to by the department in my arbitration. I wasn't even aware of that situation. I wasn't even at work at the time when this process took place, but I've been blamed for it. Subsequently, when this took place in July of 2017, I was on a suspension for 2 months in July and August of that particular year, 2017. And subsequently, in the report of the Public Service Commissioner, they were misled to say that I was responsible for that and I must be held accountable for it, and which led subsequently to one of the charges that led to my dismissal. Currently, that's why I'm in arbitration, and that's being used against us, against me. And previously, my previous testimony at the National Council of Provinces in November is also being used against me, saying that I spoke out about my case, saying that I spoke out about my case and that brought it to the National Council of Provinces, which I did not. I spoke about the occupational health and safety with regard to the issue fire, the fire that Dr. The issues with regard to occupational health and safety that Dr. Witboy spoke about, and also about the recruitment selection process where Mr. Plaatjie was involved in, that I discovered that he lied in an affidavit. I subsequently also found out later that he also amended the questionnaire in such a manner that certain questions were deleted from that questionnaire to favor not asking those questions as a non-scoring questions. So all of these issues I'm aware of, even the blaming, and apparently something that Dr. Witboy mentioned about how, where does these people, they keep on doing the same thing. Where are they getting their support from? Subsequently has come forward that on the 25th of September 2018, last year, the Department of Health, the MSC, and these head of these institutions, the chief director and the head of these, the CEOs and directors of the substructures, all went to provincial admin legislature, and they got the support from the provincial legislature to do as they please. Subsequently, that was a Tuesday, the 25th of September. The exact Friday, in that same week, the Friday, the 29th, I think it was, subsequently people were issued, notice of disciplinary hearing and final written warnings. All of a sudden, it just came, people were issued, and that is part of the harassment that's taking place. They have used that authority, abused that authority, to harass staff at Khayelitsha Hospital. And I can tell you now, currently, the state of recruitment selection is in chaos. They are not appointing people. Processes, and I think Mr. Manga mentioned where certain chairpersons are the same, it stays the same instead of, mixing it up. Chairperson on the panel, and these recommendations by the Public Service Commission and even by the Department of Labor is completely ignored, and it's happening right now as we speak. The harassment, the victimization, and who is suffering? Is the staff that's suffering? It's the patients that are suffering. It's the community of Khayelitsha that is suffering. And I'm just a part of it. There is bigger. This is just the tip of the iceberg that is really happening at Khayelitsha Hospital. We haven't even heard half of the issues that is currently happening with regard to how management is managing that institution. I have my own issues that I'm dealing with, Chairperson. But I've been part of Khayelitsha since, like I said, May of 2011. I've been part of it. I've worked with all of these people, these individuals. I know what they're going through because I have been subjected to the same harassment and victimization. that's basically in a nutshell. There is much more to talk about, and there's much more to be informed about, and there's much more evidence to present it to this panel and this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Matilas.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be very brief to follow because a lot has been said by my ex-colleagues. I've been working with the department for 14 years in 2017 doing the community-based program. Part of my job was to work with the NGOs to deliver the service on the continuity of care in the communities. What happened there, as the years went by, people got the post, I will apply for the post, I don't get the post. I was the only black manager. I was working in the substructure, not in the Khayelitsha Hospital. So I was in the substructure. So first of all, what they did to me, I went to the interview, I never got a senior post. So people were employed and then they became senior to me. I will teach them the program, I will teach them the work. But as the time went by, because they wanted to do away with certain black NGOs, they wanted to take off the funding. So I would challenge that and say, you can't do this A, B, C, D. But the people there in the substructure and Khayelitsha Hospital, there's a syndicate. It starts from the director, the deputy director of HR, there's a labor relations officer that they use the most. That is very good in building the cases. So what they did to me, seeing that I was challenging everything, that the wrong thing, in 2017 February, they lay a complaint against me to say that I drove the government car without a trip authority. I've been driving that car from 2003 because it's part of my job. So we will never drive a car without a trip authority. But that is the thing that I was dismissed for. After 14 years, with a clean record, with no verbal warning, nothing, because I think I was a pain to them because I was challenging everything. So that labor relations officer built a case, had a lot of duplicated charges against me, and was helped by top management. The director, I engaged him because the case was in February, but I was dismissed in December 2017. Because all the time they were building this case, I was never even invited to a hearing. But emails were saying that I didn't go to the hearing, everything. So the Nehao rep also was quoting this, but where was the communication? At some stage, we will receive a WhatsApp in the morning from my supervisor to say, you are supposed to go to HR in the afternoon, a WhatsApp. So I wouldn't respond to WhatsApps. There were a lot of communication that was bypassing me, but it was built up until I was dismissed in December because I was challenging them and I was saying, no, this victimization, I know this victimization from the substructure office. So my point is, in Khayelitsha specifically, people that didn't do anything are being dismissed unfairly. People, there's a doctor there who raped a nurse inside the hospital. We're using government resources like drugs and drugs. That doctor is still working in the department. He was suspended for 3 months and then came back to say it was consensual sex. The point is, where did this sex happen? During tuition hours? How many patients did that doctor rape? Nobody looked at that. That is the management under the HOD of Western Coast Department of Health. So recently in December, they don't do vetting. They like the agency staff, but they don't vet them. I was misdiagnosed by a fake doctor in one of the clinics in Bever. I had a swollen foot. That doctor, I know that doctor. I know him as a professional nurse. He was my ex-colleague. So I was so shocked when I saw him with a stethoscope and being a doctor. And then I asked him, since when are you a doctor? He said, no, Tanda, I'm a doctor. I'm a medical. Are you a doctor, medical or academical? He said, no, I did PhD. Then I said, no, you're not a doctor then. If you did PhD, you're academical. No, he said, no, I'm a medical doctor, but I'm waiting. Told me a lot of confusing information. But nevertheless, he ordered an X-ray for me. He said, he queried that I have got a heart disease because I'm swollen the foot. Then I said, no, I don't have that because I could, there are other signs as well that accompany that diagnosis. Then he said to me, okay, Tandi, I think you've got a fracture. Just go to X-ray. Then he ordered the X-ray. I went to X-ray. I came back. I asked the radiographer because I know that colleague of mine. do you see any fracture here? The radiographer said, no, you've got a swollen ligament. I did go to my doctor previously. Then she said that I've got a swollen ligament, but I wanted to access x-rays in that clinic. Now I went back to this doctor, showed the x-ray, and then he said, definitely you've got a fracture. Ordered the POP, the cast, to be put on my foot. I was put through that cast. Well, I had to go home 2 kilometers drive with a wet cast and crutches. I couldn't drive. My foot, I couldn't sleep that night. My foot was so swollen and it was so painful. On the following day, I went to my dad's previous doctor. She was so shocked to see me limping with a POP on my leg. Said, where is this doctor? Where did she see? She looked at the x-ray and said, there's no fracture here. And then she took that POP off. Now I reported to the HOD. I wrote a letter, an email, and reported to her. She never replied. Then I contacted the media. There was a Sunday Times. They investigated there. One HOD said they don't know that doctor. And that clinic doesn't belong to the government, to them. It's a city clinic. But came another email to say that, no, that one is not a doctor, he's a nurse. That was somewhere in January. And then his contract is ending. They drove him off, they expelled him on the 31st of January. So that doctor is no longer there. But he said that they're going to investigate why did she order x-ray and then why did he lie about x-ray. The problem is they don't do vetting. They employ people that they don't know. They wholly depend on the agencies. That doctor has never been a doctor. He is a Nigerian guy who has never been a doctor. Even when he was a nurse with me, that when they wanted his qualifications and permit in those years, 2006, he ran away and he resigned. But the same person they employed, that is what is happening in the Western Cape Department of Health. From the HO, the MEC downwards, nobody's listening to me. They're very, very corrupt. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nkosa, I think you have been asking a slot. Are you ready to say something?
However, I've managed to meet with one of the, if I may call a whistleblower, a person who has more information and evidence, who has also resigned of working in Kaiser Hospital. But due to her sickness, I could not be ready to come also here. So I would advise your secretary, Chairperson, before end of today, in terms of maybe when is the next presentation, or you can submit the evidence to you, the Chairperson of the Secretary. However, as a foundation, we have some concerns around the Kaiser Hospital, not only Kaiser Hospital.
Come to the mic.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning once again, leadership. Good morning once again, leadership, and the colleagues as well. I think we're coming for the same concern, Chairperson, around the happenings in Khayelitsha Hospital. And I think people have seen what is happening in a so-called lifeless domain in Gauteng. And I think Khayelitsha is worse than that. And I think that the Western Cape government, I'm not sure whether they've done that deliberately to exclude the black communities from a proper primary health care system that can serve everyone equally. And you've got an MEC. I have access direct to the MEC of of health, Dr. Norma Frenbaum. You had many complaints, not about only Khayelitsha Hospital, but you will never get a response. These are not accusations, Chairperson. These are the things that has happened. My brother-in-law died, I think, August last year, in the same hospital, who was neglected, ended up dying there on the bed. He did not get a bed for 7 days there in that hospital. And when we were taken to the doctor could not do anything. When we took him to the private doctor, he could not do anything because the care that you get there, including the management and many things else that are happening. Many community structures who have complained about the happenings in Khayelitsha Hospital, not a single, whether it's the city of Cape Town, the provincial government, the directorate, or HOD, they just absolutely don't care. So we will provide evidence in that so that it must not look like we just come to make a wide allegation here in this committee. So Thank you, Chairperson, for providing us such an opportunity. But as an NGO, it's part of Khayelitsha Hospital is going to be part of our agenda, and we'll want to work closely with your portfolio committee, Chairperson, in making sure that we help people of Khayelitsha so that it does not happen in other areas again. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Nkosha. Is the Department of Labour around, or let me start with Public Service Commission. Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Because you did your presentation, but you are here. Do you want to say something about it?
Thank you, Chairperson. On the 8th of November 2018.
Sorry, Chair. Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
I appeal to you.
Okay.
The departments, I don't think there's a need to make an input. They must answer to us. They must answer to us after we've interrogated this submission. Because we want to ask some questions that the department is inclusive in the discussion.
Doctor?
Chairperson, I just want proper differentiation here of the office. Is it public service at the national office or is it public service in the province? The office. Thank you.
There is a single public service commission in the country. There is a single public service commission in the country.
Based where?
There are 9 provincial offices. There is a public service commission in every province. But all of them.
I want to know, is it the province, this office, is it from this province or from the national office? That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Honorable Orphant.
The master there, when he introduced himself, he said he come from Northwest. Now I want to understand, are we having a service commission of Western Cape because we are in Western Cape talking the Western Cape things? Now that is why I said it's only an office. Where is it based?
Okay, thank you. Can you answer that?
Honourable members, the 9 public service commissioners in the country, and there are five nationally based commissioners. Now all of us we work together as one single public service commission in the country for a period of about, I think, more than 5 months. The Western Cape province had no resident commission. And the national office roped in commissioners, even from other provinces, to come and assist in the process of conducting investigations and coming up with a report. And this is what happened. And I learned that the process from national office, I came to the Western province, saw it through up to the end, and that is why I come here. With subsequently the commissioner in the Western Cape was appointed, he is here, but he hasn't been there all along. So whatever he's going to be saying, he will say it because he has made his observations for the past maybe 2 months or 3 months. But this process, I have been involved in it together with Commissioner Demande, who is based at National, from the beginning. Can I proceed? Thank you.
Yes. Honourable Gwili.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in the beginning I asked you about the procedures of this meeting.
That is why now we don't know where we are. Are we in a position of taking the response or the presentation by Public Service Commission, or are we dealing with a petitioner? Because according to my understanding, we have been listening to petitioners.
Yes.
There are clarity-seeking questions that we need to ask them, and then maybe after that, from what we have got, the commission will then tell us, and after that, as a committee, we'll then deliberate on both information from the petitioners and from the commission. Unfortunately, we don't have the management of the hospital, and we don't have the executive of the province, and we don't have the district manager from the department. So, in a way, we will then take a decision as a committee as to when are we summoning whoever that needs to come to us to give us another side of the story. So for now, I would kindly request that the commissioner, Ayemenyana Ra, and then from our clarity-seeking questions, maybe some of the questions that we are going to ask the petitioners, you already have something. So wait, and then after we have asked questions, and then you will come, give us the background of your investigation, and then out of that, then we'll be able to take a decision or deliberate further. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I think this is your time of questions or clarities to all petitioners and whistleblowers. Our doctor noted members and Honorable Ngwili, noted Honorable Wana, and Oliphant. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I appreciate the presentations made here. The only gap I think needs to be filled is they didn't tell us their basic skills. I could conclude Mama here is a nurse, is a midwife. I could get that from her presentation. The gentleman over there, I don't know what his basic skill is. So I think that is important, so that then we can understand the kind of insights, the concerns, and everything that they have. That's the clarity I need, Chair. Thank you.
Well, can we introduce ourselves again? And the members can be clear.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Sam Manga. I am the nurse by profession. I qualified in 2001, and then after that I went to Tigerberg Hospital and I did the theater technique. Then after that I went overseas for 10 years, and then I came back to work as a quality assurance manager at the head office here, Dobbs Street. And then after that I did infection control diploma at Tigerberg Hospital. Currently, I'm working as a clinical program coordinator for infection control at Khayelitsha Hospital.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to also, Mama? Just short, just what are you doing?
I'm Alani Bennett. I am a nurse by profession. I qualified in 1996. I initially started my work experience at Tigerberg Hospital for 5 years. In 2001, I went to work overseas in London for 10 years, where I specialized in training and upskilling of nurses. In 2011, I returned to South Africa and started working at Khayelitsha Hospital on the 1st of December 2012. So I have been at Khayelitsha Hospital for the past 7 years. As a trainer, so I am the manager of the training department at Khayelitsha Hospital.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks for the presentation by the petitioners. Sometimes to be a member of this committee, it takes one to grow a crocodile skin so that you don't react to the treatment that our people are subjected to on daily basis, both here because we are dealing with the Department of Health, both the patients and the employees. It's very painful to hear an academic with full of skills and competency and everything having to go through what you are going through because of the color of your skin. It's very painful. But again, we are in a position as a committee where we don't have to take whatever that you are saying to us emotionally. Because once we become emotional, we won't be able to take a decisive decisions. Because our mandate at the end of the day is to see services rendered to our people with dignity that they deserve. I just wanted to highlight that because it's not for the first time that we are dealing with a petition, especially from Khayelitsha Hospital, be it B, sub-region B or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's Khayelitsha Hospital. And it must be noted, Chair, that it's not for the first time as a committee that we are subjected to disrespect by the executive of the Western Cape province and their counterparts, members of this committee. Once we are dealing with the petitions that are from our fellow black brothers and sisters in the Western Cape, I think you notice that DA members who happens to be members of this committee don't attend. It must be noted that we can see the tendency of undermining our black fellows. We can see the tendency of undermining the parliament and the processes that we seek to achieve in order for us to give sustainable service delivery, especially to our African brothers and sisters. Nonetheless, Chair, I've got questions. I heard you saying he's a doctor, the branch chairperson. You did mention some allegations of financial mismanagement in the institution. For us to be able to do our work diligently, so I will ask the chairperson of the branch of Nehauda if he can furnish us with the outcomes of the Auditor General. It can be now, it can be later, but we would request that we have that in our possession. Victimization happens to be the order of the day in Khayelitsha Hospital. Once you speak out, anyway, it happens everywhere, that once you speak out, you are victimized. And they will make a point, you must remember that Mama Winnie went through that treatment when she was standing up during those times. They know that, the colonizers know that if they can deal with your mind, they will be able, that is a very important weapon that they can use, that is the mind. If they do deal with your mind, they will make sure that you lose focus of what you are intending to achieve. So I'm appealing to you that don't lose hope of what you are intending to achieve. Put your mind focused, because at the end of the day, once your mind is preoccupied with the victimization and humiliation that you are getting from your superiors, you won't be able to focus properly, and your ultimate goal won't be achieved. So I'm asking you that just make sure that you put your mind like Mama Winnie did, with everything that she went through, isolation, at the end being admitted for mental disorder, but at the end being able to speak to ants and bricks in that cell. But at the end of the day, because she knew what she was fighting for, she kept focused. So I will request that, Doc, just keep focused, record those cases properly. And also, we would like to have, I know it's a confidential matter, as members of parliament, we have been sworn in, and I think we know how to deal with confidential matters. And if we can have that as our references. Also, you did mention cooked audit reports. May you please elaborate on that? You said every time the hospital gets unqualified report from the auditors. I don't know whether it's a private auditors or what. If you can elaborate on that, it will assist us. And also, I would like to understand the staffing and the manner in which the staffing of Khayelitsha is, because if at the maternal ward we don't have enough staff, we won't be able to produce, because we will have more maternal cases, if I may put it in a proper medical term. And that hospital, majority of patients that goes to that hospital are patients from Khayelitsha, Guguletu, if I'm correct, Philippi and those neighboring areas. So if those young ones are dying, this is a systematic or a strategic weapon that is used against us, not to reproduce ourselves. So I would like to the sister to elaborate. She said there are no enough staffing in that maternal ward, or whoever that can elaborate on that can assist us to to have an information. And sister, I don't know, you introduced yourself as managers, but you are as frustrated as ordinary employees. So it's a clear indication that there is a red tape somewhere. If a manager can be as frustrated as an ordinary employee, there is a problem. Now, your hierarchy of reporting, can you explain to us your hierarchy of reporting so that we can trace why are you so frustrated as much as the ordinary employees are frustrated? I think I'm going to ask two last questions, Chair. My brother over there said he's responsible for infection management. But you did said a little about the office that you are representing. How often do we get cases of infections in Khayelitsha Hospital? And I assume you are also a manager. Also, that question of the hierarchy, you can elaborate to us more. And the issue of grievance procedures, how do you deal with grievance procedures in the hospital? If we can get that, Chair, and I will request Chair that petitioners, the issue of Department of Health tiragatswa ke itse ke bua yang ka leleme la seeng mare ka mokgwa generally the Department of Health nationally is performing, it's a challenge. Where I come from in Northwest, technically the Department of Health has collapsed. Not because of anything, but because of corruption, maladministration, appointment of incompetent leaders, and conniving of politicians with CFOs and CEOs of hospitals and directors. In doing corrupt activities. So we want to get to that again in the Western Cape, whether the system that I'm referring to of Northwest, let us not forget that it's led by the ANC, but the same frustration that you are enduring in Western Cape is the same frustration that Nehau in Northwest. If you can remember, there was a 2-month strike in Northwest of Nehau. There were so many damning allegations about the management. So is that a thing the same as in the Western Cape, who that is led by the glorious DA, as they always say that they are the best performing province in the entire country. So we want to get that so that South Africans can understand that, no, it's about this thing that we are subjected to. So, Doc, if you can maybe summarize what I've requested, and then my sisters here also tried to summarize, and my brother, in terms of the infection management department, how often do we get cases of infections, and how, what are your challenges in order to manage that in your department? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Wanda. Just take note.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't want to tell you, Chairperson, I'm very much affected by the impulse in terms of my emotions. Secondly, Chairperson, let me thank all of them to bring this to us. And that is clear that workers of the world must unite, irrespective of the categories of your occupational offices. Workers of the world must unite. I'm particularly with the Nahau, because there's a history of Baha'i that drives us as workers to unite as a pillar of those who cannot stand for themselves. I've got two questions, and my questions are, Chairperson, are two types. My first question is to the Public Commission. It's the first time that they hear this. Secondly, if there's a commissioner from Labour is with among us, is there any commissioner from Department of Labour or any delegate from Department of Labour? Two. Secondly, Chairperson, if that is the case, we need you to, as soon as possible, to brief the Minister of Health about that. If you heard the second delegate when you are saying the issues happening in Khayelitsha is the same as they said to me, that needs the national office to be on board. My another question, because I understand, when you were once in a workplace, you don't need any articulation of the problem. You just go to the problem. And what I can see, why I thank you very much, is the signs of patriotism within yourselves. That thing is not installed, and it doesn't need any revolution. If you are patriotic enough, you say, I can't allow this in front of my eyes. It's enough. Chairperson, I want to have numbers, not the names, the quantities of the executive, that when you report to our authorities, even us, we've got people that we need to report and give time frames. And at the same time, I know a dictate that COSAT always say government do away with labor brokers. It's the policy of COSAT. I know that. Secondly, there should be an investigation, the link between the labor broker chairperson and the executive in the institution. And we must be aware of, if Nahau is a majority union, is the part of the panel, whatever is done in there, is Nahau the part of the panel in that institution? If not, why not? And what is the situation currently? Coming to the commissioners, public service offices, I'm very disturbed by that institution, because I don't know whether they've got a disciplinary structure within them, or they just go and look, investigate it, and sit down. I don't know what is that. and how much are they making their own investigation with all the institutions, and what grade are they using? Because all the executive of the governors, you don't understand how are they protecting the implementers down them. Department of Labor, I've got a provision. There's an element in the Department of Labor where the grievances are getting to arbitration or condonation or going to the department or to the labor court. Those people are delayed for years. Where is the patriotism? Where is the protection? Within the Department of Labor. And they've got all the structures there. But those structures have no use to the people. People are victimized. There is not even an event of the commissioners for CCMA who are also part of the corruption. I take it from the experience. I was a shopkeeper, I think the state came to the corporation. I'm taking from the experience. How long will that take place to the people? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Chair. Chair, I won't talk too much because I did take a round with Dr. the first time. But what's my understanding now? The people in the hospital are inhuman. They got no... Let me say that. And I nearly cried because when you hear your working environment like this, are you happy when you're at your house? But when you go to work, you don't know whether you're going to come back or what is going to happen to you. You are not happy. So, I would like to ask the manager there, don't even think, don't stoop yourself too low. Get a heart, a heart fan club, and don't kill yourself. For the hospital? No. All we are going to ask is close that hospital. That's who come. I am going to help to push the bill of NHI. Why? Because these people don't worry. They've got a private hospital that they can run to. Their children, their families, they are getting services there. Now that place, it's a black community hospital, all the blacks are in there, no one worry. I, for one, am going to push that NHI. I'm happy my colleagues are here, they are listening. Let NHI come in, then we can be level. Because doctors are even getting big monies, don't even care about the hospital. So that is why I said, don't even try. Be strong enough to stand for your woman. Don't even try to kill yourself because no one will. Before you are underneath the ground, then they have already hired somebody else that they are going to, whereas your family, your children are going to suffer because they are the one with the pain. Don't even think. Grievances, Chair, I want The labor in this state, as Almar Koppen in this, if the labor is, you scream, somebody needs to go in there and say, let me go unannounced and see what is happening there. But even the labor has failed the hospital because you, one person is saying this, and after all, these cases, it's not to say they don't go to labor. I have must to claim my whistleblower card. So if I claim my broker, why did you leave work? You must explain. But now you get curious and say, but this one comes. Every 2 months, 3, 4, it's been dismissed. No, we cannot. We need skills from that hospital. Because old people must stay and teach the new people skills. Now, if they take the skills away, who's going to give skills? That is why we will take Zimbabwe, where people come with a thick needle. I was once in Rwanda, and I get sick. You know, when I go to that clinic there, they take me in Rwanda. I see that guy with a thick needle. Thick needle. I said, are you going to... Yes, mommy, you need to get the injection. I said, no, just give me tablets. I don't go around and put needles in me because that one is going to kill me. I said, sorry, pa. Yes, but you don't... I said, no. I don't want the needle. I only want tablets. I'll see in South Africa what can I do. A thick needle. So you take people with thick needles and come in. Really, labor must come strictly into this. And again, I will talk in the committee. What do we need to do about that challenge? Right now, I'll come with my union mind to these people, and it won't be right. So I don't want to. All I said, be patient enough, but somewhere along the line, help must come. Not, at least you were patient enough, help will come, but I don't want to put other things in your head because that's all by a little bit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. To be short.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I will briefly answer one to three of those questions and ask those who have testimony to also add further to that. In terms of the auditing reports of the hospital, those reports are number one, you get the metro-wide and provincial report. Those things are public knowledge. It's not something specifically given to us. One gets that from the Department of Health websites, and then as staff of that hospital, we need to be informed by the hospital that, you know, how do we actually perform in terms of those, as well as national call standard reports. And we're always informed that we have got a clean bill of health. We can forward you copies afterwards of the Auditor General financial reports and of the National Call Standard reports. We can do so. I can inform this meeting that over the years the National Call Standard reports have really scored that hospital extremely high, despite of what you've heard today from our people's experience. Until last year, when the National Core Standards came for the first time, they didn't score the hospital as high. And that happened after we came here, after, you know, word was spread that we took our case to the National Council of Provinces, which would have had implications for the National Core Standards findings. So if there was going to be another investigation after they were had made their assessment and it didn't correspond, they would have had to answer. So suddenly last year there was a change. Not drastic, but there was. So in terms of auditing reports, we will provide you with that afterwards. The second question, the hierarchy of reporting. In terms of the hierarchy of reporting, the question was to get an understanding as to why it is that managers are now also frustrated, because you would have expected it to only be the staff and not the managers. Everybody follows the hierarchy of reporting. We are well aware of it. It's always being respected. It's always being respected, and you get your ordinary staff member, say a nurse or general worker, reporting to a supervisor. So if it's a nursing supervisor, that supervisor will be called a shift leader, professional nurse shift leader, and that shift leader reports to an operational manager in that ward who oversees that ward. The operational manager does not perform clinical nursing duties as such, but supervises only and advises and issues and does discipline. Okay? And is also overall responsible for the quality of care of that particular ward. And that accounts for, that same process happens in all the wards. The same with the general staff, support staff workers, cleaners, allied health staff, etc. Those who work with linen, they have a supervisor. That supervisor will report to a manager, because there will be more than one supervisor in different parts of the hospital. Report to a manager, and that manager will eventually have a deputy director. That's, and eventually director. So the operational managers, when it comes to nursing now, operational managers report to what they call an assistant manager, okay, which is a higher level. So you'd have multiple operational managers operating to one particular assistant manager. And they define these, and the boundaries are very clear as to who's reporting to whom, and we always respect that. There's no issue with that. And then that assistant manager now that's at extremely high level. Like, the next level after that assistant manager is a deputy director of nursing, who is basically in charge of nursing in that hospital. Right? There's no nursing level higher than that in the hospital. So the problems that we are experiencing when it comes to managerial issues is when an operational manager, okay, or an assistant manager complains about something when an operational manager complains to an assistant manager, and that assistant manager decides not to entertain the issue, that operational manager is stuck, and that operational manager also knows that in the future he or she will want to apply for the post of assistant manager. So rather just leave the issue so that you can be in good standing for future applications, because you've heard now earlier how an assistant manager tried to interview his own brother into a post there and got caught red-handed. Okay, you've heard that earlier. So you know, rather keep quiet, otherwise that's what's going to happen. They're going to get somebody else instead of you. So that's the... So when the assistant manager now, which there are very few of because it's such a high level, if they have an issue, which is at the level of as a warning now, they only have one level up, and that's the deputy director of nursing that they can report. And there now, you find two people in an office. And if something goes wrong there, it's one's word against the other one. And you can now think whose word it will be that's going to thrive if the one says something went wrong there. Hence what people tend to do, knowing that that is what is going to happen, people tend to do everything in writing, in anticipation of it, which is why you see there's documentation here. So that's hierarchy, in terms of hierarchy of reporting. They can brief you and say what the experience is of. They always follow this. And as you could hear earlier on, when Mrs. when Mrs. Hornick reported an issue to the Deputy Director of Nursing, how that Deputy Director of Nursing bit her back to say, instructing her to do something that she wasn't happy to do, and made her, basically forced her almost to do it, and she didn't want to, and she reported here how difficult she found that. So there is this where, and we often find, and this leads into the question about grievance procedures, how do we deal with that? So you have a situation where you can be aggrieved of something, and then it can happen that they can find and say, look, yes, we can hear you are not happy with this, but that decision, your manager has got the prerogative, and this is a word that they use, the prerogative to make that decision, despite of your complaint, despite of you not agreeing with it. Now, we respect that a manager must have, that's how the system works, that the manager is allowed to have that prerogative. We respect that, but we feel now the manager is now abusing that prerogative, because it is clearly put in front of the manager, this decision that you are making now is actually harming a lot of people. So what now? If you try and take that further at a higher level, you will just get the same answer higher up. No, but that is your manager. It is your manager's decision. Whether the manager is right or wrong, it is that manager's decision. Now you're stuck. So this is what happens to the hierarchy of reporting. It is being respected. Although you could hear that sometimes people are being accused of being disrespectful, when actually they were not disrespectful of following the hierarchy of reporting. It's just that they challenged something that where the prerogative was not used, the managerial prerogative was not actually used properly or safely.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairs, and to respond to the Honourable Member. I would just like to start again just to add on this issue of hierarchy of reporting. I'm reporting straight to the CEO, acting CEO currently. As I sort of stated in the beginning, there is this drive of employing the people from the psychiatric hospital in a general hospital. My view, I think that is that's sort of contributing in terms of managing that hospital. Because even the CEO that I'm reporting to, the acting CEO, he's got that background of the psychiatric hospital. And then you will come with a problem, and then you get frustrated because you could see or sense this person has no clue of what you are talking about. So that's one of the things. And also, I must state here, I am very disappointed with the MEC of Health, Dr. Mbobo. In fact, the acting CEO, she was handpicked by her, I must say that. I was there on that day when she was put on that chair. She was handpicked. I don't know what procedure was followed. Because of the clinical staff, we demanded that there should be a change at the top management. We want to see black people there. That does not mean that we want to see incompetent black people there. So she handpicked her and put her there. So that added more frustration into the staff. So I'm reporting to her anyway, so that's how... And then, now, 2011, Khayelitsha Hospital was opened with 230 beds. The ODI at that time allowed that 230 bed hospital should have
one clinical program coordinator, infection control nurse, which is me. Now, to date, we are talking about 310 beds. Now, the OGI said once the hospital is 250 beds, then there should be a second infection control nurse. I did raise that with the previous CEO, but that has not happened. So we are sitting on a 310 bed now. Now with the added burden of the psychiatric clients, which was not catered for when the hospital was built. So that is also adding to that also. Now, if I come to the infection control, infection rate in that hospital, now when we are looking at the infection control management, you've got a sort of a, if I can put it in simplest form, is a sort of two types. You've got hospital-acquired infections, and then you've got the community-acquired infections. Now, when it comes to community-acquired infections, we strive by all means there should not be any hospital-acquired infections in a hospital. Now, when it comes to Khayelitsha, in my own assessment, every week we have got those hospital-acquired infections. Even yesterday, we have one case of CRE of a child. We are still sort of managing that. So the infection rate is high in that. And also the other thing is that there is a severe lack of reporting. I am the only one. If I'm on leave, then nothing is done. So, that is the problem I'm facing, the severe lack of reporting of cases. So the staff, they should fill in the forms and report to me, and then I'll be told and then come up with the intervention to the staff on how to tackle whatever has come out. And then also respond before outbreaks, if there's an outbreak. Now, if there's an outbreak while I'm on leave, and then nobody's doing anything about it. So that is the situation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you
very much.
Can I do a follow-up question to infection? Do you have tools of trade to deal with the cases that are especially for hospital? Do you have enough tools of trade?
In terms of, thank you, Honorable Member. In terms of the resources of dealing that, there is a challenge in terms of the procurement, like the personal protective clothing, any other, let's say, hand hygiene equipment. In terms of even yesterday with the case, it was like a sort of a recommended as like a sort of a 70% chloroxidine is a sort of a chemical they use to wipe all those, like the beds, all that. But now, yeah, it's a struggle in that, because also we also I'm struggling now to even to get the cleaning chemical for the whole hospital. So I'm being tossed around pillar to post. Now, as a result, someone else procured those, and then wrongly, I must say that, because to me it was a wasteful expenditure. But I cannot challenge that, because that was a white person in the first place. Now, when I challenged it, then there were sort of reasons were put, and then I was just fed up, and then I left it there. But yeah, there is a challenge with the cleaning chemicals, with other things, in terms of procuring those.
Doctor.
Chairperson, time-wise, I'm concerned, because looks like we're going to have very limited time to hear from the Public Service Commission. And the situation has been festering for too long. It's important for us to know why did they allow the situation to develop the way it has.
I'm with you. I would like to also, that's why I mean that the PSC can just come up. And also, the Department of Labor was here last time. They promised to go to
investigate the case. If they've got a report, they can come and present to the committee, please. Honorable Willie? Thank you. Honorable Oliphant, sorry, ma'am.
It's fine, Chair. No, it's fine.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair, man. Even if we don't have time, but I think we need as much information as we can so that we can be able to come up with a proper decision. So pardon with me, Doc, but we'll, where we are not, we don't understand, we are forced to ask questions. Infection management, my last question to you is, in terms of the budget, your unit's budget, I heard you saying some white guy procured on your behalf. So I would like to check, in terms of your budget, who controls your budget in your unit? Is it you, or you share with other departments or units?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just quick answers, eh?
Thank you, Honorable Member. That was the question I've asked since I started, as to how much budget do I have as an infection control manager in that hospital up until to date. And then I was told that, no, your budget is with a quality manager. And then I've asked, well, how much is the quality manager's budget? And then the answer never came. So I don't know. I don't have a budget as far as I know.
Thank you very much. Public Service Commissioner, at least I can give you 5 minutes to respond. And then after the report from Labour. Thank you very much. Thanks. Otherwise, I know you submitted your presentation last time.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to clarify that this is not the presentation. The invitation did not contain the presentation. So we came here to participate and to clarify issues. On the 8th of November 2018, the PSC made a presentation which was a product of an involved process. It involved visiting KDH, it involved meeting with NEHAU, meeting with the management, it involved meeting with the Metropole management, it involved meeting with the Embassy of Health in the province. The investigation, as I say, it involved a broader statement. We came out with the findings and 12 recommendations in the report. The PSC everywhere, whether it's Western Cape or whether it's Northwest or Gauteng, it conducts its mandate without fear, without favor, without any bias, and it adheres to prescripts to the latter. Coming to the report that we submitted, if the KDH and Provincial Health Department had implemented the PSC recommendations, I bet the situation at KDH would have been different today if they had recommended those 12 recommendations, or even half of them, for that matter. The situation would have been different. Chair, I want to put it on record. The PSC cannot and has no reason to be involved in any cover-up whatsoever, anywhere in this country. The PSC is impartial and it operates without any fear, as I had said. Especially regarding any complaints or grievances lodged to our offices in the entire country, specifically in the Western Cape. The PSC is a constitutional institution, and it is there to assist government departments with good governance, administration, and personnel practices throughout the public service. I want to emphasize this point that the PSC is involved in no cover, because correspondences that we have been receiving ever since are alleging that we're involved in a cover-up. And everybody who goes through this documentation then creates a perception that PSC, to some extent or somehow, is cover-upping something. Chair, PSC is not involved in any cover-up, and PSC is...
Time is against us. If there are no specifications, he can do it in writing, because the outline is a legislative approach. If they've got findings and recommendations, that has not been done. He must have said that. And as a committee, we'll see what to do, because it will be part of our package. That the commission was there, have got 11 recommendations, and or 12 forever, and 3 was done, and 17 was not done. To the member to emphasize in the legislative and of commission is what we are aware of that. We know that.
Thank you, Honourable Member, but they submitted their, I don't know, section, what is this report? They submitted presentation, they did the presentation, it's a recommendation, it's supposed to be held in the office. Other members will get that report.
Does the PSC have a consequence management mechanism? Do they have?
Yes.
If they do, let them tell us how far they've gone in implementing their consequence management mechanism.
Thank you. Honorable Alfie.
Chair, why this thing is with us is because of that report. Because the people at the Khayelitsha was not happy with the outcome. It was said in the first time. Now it's repeating again.
Commissioner,
and any investigation the PSC gets involved in, the complainants have a right not to agree. And if they disagree with the outcome of the investigation, they have a right to elevate it. This is what happened in this case. Thank you.
Much. That's why they are here, because they are not happy about the investigation. Thank you. Consequence management, do you do that?
Chair, you want to respond? Okay.
Chairperson, honorable members, thank you for the opportunity.